Hello, everybody. Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Perceptive Photographer. We're coming to the end of the year, and I think that's a really kind of a great time because it's the time we look back, we mark our accomplishments, we think about all that's happened for the past year, and then we start to think about the future. We start to think about what's possible in the coming year. So as we look forward to 2017, maybe we set up a theme, maybe we set up some objective that we want to accomplish, we set some new goals. But I think that look back is really important because it becomes informative to how to move forward. It becomes informative of what needs to happen in 2017. And sometimes when we sit back, we think about what happened over the past year, and it's really easy to get kind of trapped up in our own psychology and what we needed to improve upon or what we didn't accomplish. And what I thought I would do is try to come up with a way for me to look at my own photography and my own accomplishments from the last year and all the things that have gone on and find a kind of an interesting, unique way to think about those. And I ended up looking at the motion picture industry because I love cinema. I love films. I love watching movies. I love studying cinematic history. And one of the things that I think the motion picture industry does better than just about any industry is pat itself on the back. There are award shows after award shows after award shows for cinema and for actors and for all sorts of different reasons. And they really celebrate what they've accomplished over the last year. I got to thinking about our own photography and could we take some of what the motion picture industry has been doing and apply that to our own photographic work? And I really think it's kind of an interesting way if you start to think about some of those categories that exist within the motion picture industry award season and apply them to your own work. For example, I think it's really important to sit down and look at the work you created for the last year. So not even necessarily the work you shot the last year, but anything you've worked on in the last year. So even if you found photographs from the old film days you've scanned in or stuff you shot 2 years ago that you're just now working on and bringing into portfolios or whatever. But really, what were the best pictures of the past year? And it used to be Hollywood kind of narrowed that down to about 5 pictures, but now they've expanded that to about 10. But I would say come up with between, 5 and 10 of really the strongest and best photographs you've created over the last year. And from that group, then select kind of your best of. So you don't even have to stack rank them. But if you look at those images, just really, what was it that made that the best picture for you for the year? It might be an emotional thing. It might be a storytelling thing, whatever it is. But find that best picture. Some other categories that I think are interesting when we look back at our photographs because they can really help us start to understand areas to focus on and improve upon in areas we're truly excelling or in moments we found that were really interesting and unique. I think a second category that's really interesting is the best actor category, or I think I've kind of redeemed that the best gesture. So one of the things I like to look for in the photographs is that gesture, that moment of tension created between two different objects within the frame. And really looking back at my photographs and again, coming up with that 5 or so photographs that really represent the strongest gesture. I think best cinematography is another one. At what point did all the visual elements of the photograph come together? Maybe it's missing storytelling, maybe it's missing gesture, that's why I didn't make the best picture, or maybe in the best picture, it's also in the best cinematography, but really, how did that overall aesthetic and look develop? Did I really match my vision and my intent of how I wanted the photograph to look? From shooting, through processing, through printing, however that post-processing was done, but really looking at that cinematic quality of the image. I think best screenplay is another interesting category to apply. What I mean by best screenplay is the storytelling aspect. Which photographs did I create really told a strong story that I really connected with? Did I really feel a sense of passion? Did I feel a sense of anger? Did I feel a sensation of loss? Whatever I was going for in the photograph, which photographs really were strong to that element of storytelling or options for best screenplay? I think also best director is an interesting one because as a photographer, it goes back to that intention. So one of the things we've talked about a lot in this podcast over the past couple of years is creating meaningful and significant work that speaks to the intention that we wanted, the feeling we wanted, the idea we wanted. So which photographs ultimately ended up having the strongest really sensation or experience of what I was wanting to have happen when I was behind the camera, through the production and execution of the print. So I think that's really important. And then I think finally, one of the award shows that happens right around the time of the Oscars is the Razzie Awards. So for those of you who don't follow cinema or follow movies, the Razzie Awards is a company that basically hosts the Academy Award for the worst films in Hollywood that year. And it has all the same categories and they pick those. So I think it's important to go through and look at your Razzies as well. Which photographs were just really bad for whatever reason? Maybe it's something where you missed critical focus. Maybe it's something where you just had a weird pose during a portrait session, whatever it is. But go back and look at those Razzies and not to really criticize yourself, but really to have a laugh and realize just when you look at the best of what you've done and the mistakes you've made, that culmination of what happened for the last year, I think would be a fun experience to have the Razzies. I think a second thing I wanted to kind of talk about this week, like I said, I got three things. The second thing is I've had a lot of conversations with people over the past couple of weeks about their creative energy output and their creative flow. And I just wanted to speak to that really quick because I think it's important that we stay connected with our creativity no matter what we're experiencing in our life. We find if we can channel whatever that experience is into the creativity, I think it's important. And a couple of things that I've been hearing from people that I think are areas where they're kind of stumbling is one, they're trying to take on too much with what needs to happen. I think when we're feeling lost in our creative process, we're feeling like we're stifled in our creative process, we kind of have to go back to the basics. We have to get back to making things simple and making things easy and avoiding that complexity. If you've ever had a pet, a dog specifically to train, there's some basic commands that every dog learns or should learn. You know, they should learn to sit, they should learn to stay, they should learn to lay down, maybe shake. And if you have a dog and all of a sudden you find that dog misbehaving and you're having troubles with the dog, if you've taught it those basic commands and you go back and just spend 5 minutes a day retraining those very simple basic commands, you will find that your dog's attitude towards life, you and the world will improve drastically. Creativity is a lot like that dog. We have some very simple things we do over and over again. We journal every day. We photograph every day. Whatever it is that you do in your creative process, maybe it's you cook, maybe that's one of your outlets for a creative process. But whatever it is, you go back and make that as simple as possible and as convenient as possible. And don't try to think about how are you going to change the world through the next photograph you take. Just think about how do you have a great experience with the next photograph you're going to take. And I think that's really kind of what the central crux is that can really make a difference in our creative process. If you're struggling, just go back to making it really simple, making it really easy, and focusing on the fun elements and the fun aspect of what you're accomplishing. Don't try to make it something big and huge because that sometimes can become overwhelming and really make us feel like our creative outlet is no longer working for us when really we just need a slight shift in the framing and perspective of what we're doing with our creative process. The third thing I want to talk about is I get this question asked every year by my own family, and then I get asked by anybody who has a friend who's a photographer, but that gift concept at the holiday season for what you would buy a photographer from a gift standpoint, or if you're a photographer, you know, like if what you really deeply want is a camera lens that costs $5,000, or what you need in your photographic stuff is some studio lights, and people aren't just going to buy you $2,000 in studio lights or $500 in studio lights. So I've been spending some time thinking about like, how do you answer that question? How do you tell somebody who's like, hey, I have a friend who's a photographer, what would you buy them? Because as a photographer, they're going to look to you for some answers there. And I've been thinking about what are some of the basic things that we could tell people or ask for ourselves if somebody asks, hey, I want to get you something related to your photography that's not a $5,000 camera lens. One of the things I think that makes that gift-giving process valuable from the own internalization of that and from the people we're working with who want to do that is people are recognizing that your photography is important and they want to somehow contribute to that. And in doing so, they feel like they're able to help extend your creative process. So I think it's a real great gift that somebody would even just ask. So I think acknowledging that, hey, I think that's a great thing. I really appreciate that. Or for your friend who you're actually going to do the work with, I think that's amazing because it's a really strong signal to your friend that you want to stay connected. So I think acknowledging that is one of the first things you need to do. But when you think about the kind of things that we do in our photography and the kind of things we could offer, I think one of the great things is experience and the experiences in life. So one of the things that they have a favorite photographer who's still alive and still actively working, and maybe they offer a workshop. And that workshop might be $2,000-$3,000, but you could oftentimes call a photographer and they will have a gift card that you can give to somebody. So you could give $50 towards a workshop or an online class that somebody's teaching. So I think that's a really interesting opportunity. It also focuses in on the fact that you've recognized that they have a person who they're inspired by or want to creatively learn from. That same time, a book. I think one of the things that a lot of people, you know, if you're looking to spend not a huge amount of money, you can get books relatively cheap compared to other photographic gear and photographic equipment. So finding what is that person's favorite photographer and offering a book, I think, is a really great opportunity there. I think also to go through and look at some of the other pieces, like a journal to write in, I think is a great thing because whether you're a photographer or not, that creative outlet, that chance to write things down and work through that cycle, I think is a really great thing. The other one is There is so much software that is required for photographers now if you're doing digital work. Now, almost all of those companies are moving to subscription-based. So even a gift card to a subscription-based software, I think, is really big. If you think about somebody who's struggling to keep going as a photographer, any little thing you can offer like that, it's like, hey, I got you a month, I paid for a month of your Adobe Creative Cloud, or here's a gift card for Evernote or for whatever application the person uses. So a little digging on that part, I think, would be a really interesting way to offer a gift that's meaningful but not stuck in that high dollar thing. Because at the end of the day, as we've talked over and over again, this really isn't about gear. Photography is about seeing and learning to see. But there are tools and things we do need as photographers. And finding a way to get little bits and pieces of that, I think, would be significant. Well, I hope you have a great week behind the camera. Just so you know, coming up pretty soon, I've been working on a number of interviews, and I'm going to have an interview month coming up. I know we've talked about that before, but I've got several of those recorded. So we're going to just do a month of interviews about the creative process with writers. I've got some photographers. So that's coming up. Also, I've got a number of 2017 workshops that will be coming online, including online workshops. So even if you're not in the Pacific Northwest or can't travel, I'm going to be doing some online classes, and that schedule is about to come out, and I'll talk about those in a future podcast. I hope you have a great week. Don't forget, you can always find us up on iTunes. Subscribe there would be great, or give us a review. We'd really appreciate that. Or you can find us at www.theperceptivephotographer.com, and I will see you next time.